and much more.
This is News on the Edge.
Just one more day before the end of the week, so as your last dose of reality before the weekend's parties and TV binges, it's time for the Edge News for Thursday, April 25th, 2024. I'm Alyssa, and I'm with Patrick and Campbell, coming to you live from the Student Union Building on the CU New Paltz campus. Topping tonight's national headlines, a historic case, one that could affect both Donald Trump's legal and political fates and define the scope of presidential power, lands before the 9 justices of the Supreme Court on Thursday, which is today. Lawyers for Mr. Trump and special counsel Jack Smith will square off in a hearing on whether former presidents have immunity from criminal prosecution for actions they take while in office. Mr. Smith charged the former president last year with allegedly attempting to overturn the results of the 2020 election, but Mr. Trump said he could not be indicted under the U.S. Constitution. The trial has been on hold while the dispute made its way to the top court in the country. The case is already historic. Mr. Trump is the first former president to have been charged with federal crimes. And the Supreme Court decision, which may not come until June, will also be a historic decision. If the court rules Mr. Trump can be prosecuted, then the trial will move forward, but will likely restart in the late summer at the earliest, in the heart of the presidential election season. If it decides that he does not have immunity, Mr. Trump may see other criminal cases against him thrown out. Mr. Smith had pressed the court to make a decision in December, but it declined.
Disgraced Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction in New York has been overturned on the basis that he did not receive a fair trial. The New York Court of Appeals said prosecutors in the pivotal Me Too case called witnesses whose accusations were not part of the charges against him. The court said that meant he was unfairly tried for past behavior and ordered a new trial. Weinstein, 72, remains in prison. He was separately convicted of rape in L.A. The Silence Breakers, a victims group, called the reversal, quote, disheartening and profoundly unjust, unquote, while lawyers for victims said the decision to retry was a, quote, leap backwards, unquote, and, quote, tragic, unquote. Weinstein's lawyers, Arthur Igala, hailed the reversal as a win for the legal system. Quote, there are still people who are very unpopular in our society, but we still have to apply the law fairly to them, unquote, Mr. Igala said in a news conference in New York City. Quote, in this courthouse behind us at that trial, the law was not applied fairly to Harvey Weinstein, unquote. In an interview with the New York Times, he said the decision was a victory, quote, for every criminal defendant in the state of New York, unquote. The court reached a 4-3 ruling on Thursday, stating that the trial, quote, erroneously admitted testimony of uncharged, alleged prior sexual acts against persons other than the complaint of the underlying crimes, unquote.
Police have arrested hundreds more protesters in locations across the U.S. as protests against the war on Gaza intensify across university campuses. Some 108 arrests were made at Emerson College, Boston police told the BBC's U.S. partner CBS News. Earlier, 93 people at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles were taken in custody on trespassing charges. Protesters and police also clashed at the University of Texas in Austin. Authorities said 34 people were arrested there, too. Universities across the U.S. have seen a growing number of students walk out of class or try to set up encampments to protest Israel's military campaign in Gaza. The latest arrests follow others at Columbia, Yale, Brown, and New York University.
Arizona has indicted a number of former President Donald Trump's advisors over an alleged scheme to flip his defeat in the state and overturn the 2020 election result. Ex-Trump advisors Rudy Giuliani and Mark Meadows were among 18 indicted on counts including conspiracy and fraud. Arizona is the fourth U.S. state to file criminal charges in a fake elector scheme. Mr. Trump himself is not charged in the alleged Arizona plot. The names of 7 defendants are redacted in the indictment made public on Wednesday, which does name 11 others. Although Mr. Giuliani and Mr. Meadows, Mr. Trump's former chief of staff, are not named, the redacted defendants are referred to in a manner that exposes their identity. The Arizona prosecutor's office said the redacted names would be made public after all the defendants were formally pressed with the charges.
Severe weather season has begun across the plains, and forecasters are predicting 4 days of severe weather that include tornadoes and large hail. The area of risk extends from South Dakota to southern Texas, beginning on Thursday and shifts east through Sunday. Cities such as Oklahoma City, Kansas City, and Dallas could experience severe storms at some point during the period. Forecasters believe that the hail the size of teacups could fall, and that a strong tornado or two could form across western Kansas as early as this afternoon and into this evening. Slightly smaller but still large hail, 2.5 inches in diameter, could fall across northwest Texas and in central Oklahoma into the night on Thursday and into Friday morning. A few tornadoes are possible in this region, but the risk is lower.
Let's come a little closer to home with state news headlines. President Joe Biden has landed in central New York. He's expected to appear at the Milton J. Rubenstein Museum of Science and Technology after being greeted by Governor Kathy Hochul at Hancock International Airport. The president's appearance is to announce a preliminary agreement between the Department of Commerce and Micron to provide up to $6.14 billion in direct funding to support both Micron's new semiconductor plant in the town of Clay, as well as another fab in Boise, Idaho. The trip will also coincide with the announcement that Syracuse has been named as one of the four, quote, investing in America work hubs, unquote, the others being Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Michigan. It comes after the first round of hubs were designated by the White House, including centers in Phoenix, Arizona, and Columbus, Ohio, that focus on semiconductor training. Speaking with reporters ahead of the announcement, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called the investment, quote, nothing short of transformation, unquote. Quote, we are rebuilding New York's economy from the bottom up and the middle out, one microchip at a time, unquote, he said. Quote, our country will be more economically secure because of Micron. Our national security will be stronger, and our country will once again have Syracuse and upstate New York at the heart of its manufacturing, unquote.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul and state lawmakers spent two bruising years wrestling over how to tackle the state's ongoing housing crisis, finally landing a compromise last week that they said will provide a crucial boost in supply while providing some renters with new eviction protections. Now comes the part of figuring out if their plan will actually work. Housing experts agreed the package of housing reforms will, at the very least, help spur some development, particularly in New York City, where the vacancy rate for apartments fell to a 50-year low of 1.4% in 2023. But will it be enough to have an actual, tangible effect on supply and demand? That won't be known for years, if not decades, and will be influenced in part by factors largely outside of Albany's policymakers' control.
New York local government sales tax collections increased 1.6%, totaling $5.6 billion in the first quarter of 2024, compared to the same period last year. State Comptroller, Thomas DiNapoli's office said Wednesday. It is the lowest rate of growth in the first quarter since 2021, the comptroller added. The growth was largely driven by New York City, with several upstate regions experiencing a year-over-year decline for the quarter, DiNapoli said. Quote, the numbers from New York City signal a healthy tax base and a return to its pre-pandemic role as a major driver of sales tax growth in the state. Collections outside of the city were relatively flat, resulting from a variety of economic influences, unquote, DiNapoli said in a statement.
At-risk native bees will soon have new potential homes in the city thanks to the Pollinator Port Project, an initiative led by the City Department of Transportation in collaboration with the Horticultural Society of New York, also known as the HORT, and Rutgers University. As part of the project, quote, bee hotels and bee bunkers, unquote, will be installed in select public plazas and open streets, along with vegetation to provide native bees and other pollinators with nutrition, the DOT said in a press release. A 2022 report by the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation found that anywhere from 38 to 60% of New York's native pollinators studied were at risk because their populations are declining. Native pollinators play an essential role in the pollination of flowering plants, wildflowers, garden plants, and cultivated crops.
And now, the Edge weather forecast. Bundle up and keep warm tonight as temperatures drop to lows of 31 with the possibility of frost. Tomorrow, things will warm up again with sunny skies and highs of 61 with lows of 34. We're going to head to a quick break. When we return, Patrick will have the top state headlines. Your Edge News time is 7:09.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me.
Me too.
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and experiences connect through conversation, and it feels good.
This conversation gives me hope.
It gives me a lot of hope, too.
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together. Start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
Are ye plagued by foreclosure? Well, here at Jim, Lad, and Matey, we can stop your foreclosure now. We're a mortgage rescue company, and for the small fee of everything you hold dear, we will negotiate with your lender on your behalf. Call Jim, Lad, and Matey at 1-800-YAR-YAR. That's 1-800-YAR-YAR-YAR.
If you're facing foreclosure, talk to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
Let's see what's going on in your neck of the woods with today's local headlines and community calendar. State funding amounting to $32 million has been awarded to art-related projects, including ones in Ulster and Dutchess counties, according to Governor Kathy Hochul. The money is being funneled to the projects through the State Council of the Arts Capital Project Fund, according to Hochul's office. Quote, the over 100 projects we're supporting through this funding will showcase arts and cultural organizations across the state and spur economic development for decades to come, unquote, Hochul said in a statement. Quote, from historic sites to new multi-use art centers, these diverse projects will expand the accessibility and the sustainability of arts and culture organizations while growing local economies, driving tourism, and creating jobs all across New York State, unquote. In Ulster County, $3,500,000 will go to Opus 40 in Sorgheys for fortifying and developing the site, $25,000 to the Sandakan Theatrical Society to support the refurbishment of the facade and main entrance to the theater to improve safety and accessibility for all visitors, $50,000 to the Center for Photography in Kingston for accessible bathrooms, $50,000 to Upstate Films for restoration for the Orpheum Theater Marquee in Sorgheys, and $50,000 to Woodstock Artists Association Incorporated for a wheelchair ramp replacement.
The Dutchess County Department of Behavioral and Community Health will host two public forums discussing mental health and substance abuse, according to an announcement. The public forums, according to the announcement, will allow residents to give feedback on the services available for those struggling with mental health issues. Topics discussed at the forums include intellectual and developmental disabilities, substance abuse, and mental health services for both youth and adults. The first forum will be held Thursday, May 16th at 5:30 p.m. in the auditorium at Poughkeepsie High School, 70 Forbush Street. The second forum will be held Wednesday, June 5th at 5:30 p.m. in the cafeteria at Stissing Mountain High School, 2829 Church Street, Pine Plains.
The Woodstock Youth Center participated in an Earth Day community cleanup on April 20th. If you happened to be in downtown Woodstock around midday last Saturday, you will have noticed many small posses of people, mostly teenagers, wearing bright reflective vests and carrying trash bags, out doing good for their community. Earth Day weekend is a traditional time for a spring cleanup of public spaces, as well as informational fairs on environmental topics, and this year's was the first time these two efforts in Woodstock were coordinated. This was our first year of collaborating together, the Youth Center and the Environmental Commission, said Woodstock Youth Center Director Alyssa Acker.
And now, on to campus news. Wednesday afternoon, SUNY New Paltz was the latest college campus to see protests over the Israel-Palestine conflict, as protests flare up on the national stage. The protest was over the company Siemens, a German company that is affiliated with SUNY New Paltz. The office of the president sent an email that said the protest was by a, quote, unsanctioned group, unquote, and that flyers posted around campus advertising the protest violated, quote, institutional policies for student events, unquote. The protest, which started in Old Main Quad at 3 o'clock, started small, with stickers and informational zines encouraging students to boycott New Paltz by not spending actual money on campus dining options being handed out to participants. Protesters held signs, gave speeches, and chanted. Shortly into the protest, the event was moved by organizers to Hasbrook Park after participants were faced with, quote, academic consequences, unquote, by the university. As the protest cooled down, down Plattekill Avenue and into the park. In response to the protest, the university released an email about policies surrounding campus events and clarified that they offered protesters an alternate location, but organizers refused.
Let's zoom out a bit and see what's around the world. Haiti's Prime Minister Ariel Henry resigned on Thursday as a new council was sworn in to lead the country gripped by deadly gang violence. A recent outbreak of violence forced officials to move the ceremony from the National Palace to the outgoing Prime Minister's office. Mr. Henry agreed to step down last month after armed groups blocked his return to the country. Gangs now control most of the capital, Port-au-Prince. They have capitalized on the power vacuum left by the Prime Minister's exit and expanded their control over swaths of the country, which has effectively become lawless in places. Mr. Henry said he would resign after being prevented from returning from Kenya, where he had signed a deal to import a multinational security force in a bid to restore law and order. His resignation was formally presented in a letter signed in Los Angeles, dated April 24th. 9 members of the Transitional Council have now been sworn in, 7 of which have voting powers. Mr. Henry's finance minister, Alyssa Boisvert, will serve as the interim prime minister. The council will try to restore order and democratic rule in Haiti and is backed by other Caribbean nations and the U.S.
A top Hamas political official told the Associated Press that Islamic militant group is willing to agree to a truce of 5 years or more with Israel and that it will lay down its weapons and convert into a political party if an independent Palestinian state is established along pre-1967 borders. The comments by Khalil al-Haya in an interview Wednesday came amid a stalemate in months of talks for a ceasefire in Gaza. The suggestion that Hamas would disarm appeared to be a significant concession by the militant group officially committed to Israel's destruction. But it's unlikely Israel will consider such a scenario. It has vowed to crush Hamas following the deadly October 7th attacks that triggered the war, and its current leadership is adamantly opposed to the creation of a Palestinian state on lands Israel captured in the 1967 Mideast War. Al-Haya, a high-ranking Hamas official who has represented the Palestinian militants in negotiations for a ceasefire and hostage exchange, struck a sometimes defiant and other times conciliatory tone. Speaking to the AP in Istanbul, Al-Haya said Hamas wants to join the Palestine Liberation Organization, headed by rival Fatah faction, to form a unified government for Gaza and the West Bank.
At least 200 people were killed and dozens more were injured across East Africa in recent days, officials and aid groups said, as torrential rains, flood, and landslides pummeled towns and cities in a region already grappling with devastating effects of the climate change crisis. The extreme rains unleashed a wave of destruction across Tanzania, Kenya, and Burundi, flooding homes, demolishing businesses, and leaving many people stranded on rooftops. The downpours exposed yet again the bad roads and poor drainage system in some of the region's biggest cities, which residents have persistently complained about. They've also revealed how poor people, who live in sprawling shanty towns without access to proper roads, water, or power, bear the biggest brunt of destructive floods.
China launched a 3-member crew to its orbiting space station on Thursday as part of its ambitious program that aims to put astronauts on the moon by 2030. The Shenzhou 18 spacecraft lifted off from the Jiuquan Satellite Launch Center on the edge of the Gobi Desert in northwestern China atop a Long March 2F rocket at 8:59 p.m. The spacecraft's 3-member crew will relieve the Shenzhou 17 team, which has been staffing China's Tiangong space station since last October. The China Manned Space Agency, or CMSA, held a send-off ceremony, complete with flag-waving children and patriotic music, for the Shenzhou 18 crew earlier on Thursday, as 3 astronauts prepared to enter the spacecraft.
The Pentagon will withdraw dozens of special operations forces from Chad in the next few days, the second major blow in a week to American security and counterterrorism policy in a volatile swath of West and Central Africa, U.S. officials said on Thursday. The decision to pull out about 75 Army Special Forces personnel working in N'Djamena, Chad's capital, comes days after the Biden administration said it would withdraw more than 1,000 U.S. military personnel from Niger in the coming months. The Pentagon is being forced to draw down troops in response to the African government's demands to renegotiate the rules and conditions under which U.S. military personnel can operate. Both countries want terms that better favor their interests, analysts say. The decision to withdraw from Niger is final, but the U.S. officials said they hope to resume talks on security cooperation after elections in Chad on May 6th. That's all we have for today's world news. We're going to take another quick break before diving into today's top sports news. Your Edge News time is 7:20.
There's a monster under my bed.
For a child with asthma, monsters are everywhere.
There's a monster in my bathtub.
Something as innocent as a teddy bear or a bath toy could trigger their next asthma attack. Here are ways to help. Freezing stuffed animals to kill dust mites. Drying bath toys to prevent mold. Learn how to end your child's asthma attacks at noattacks.org or call 866-NO-ATTACKS because their next breath is in your hands. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're just in time. Coach is making the call. It's time for The Huddle, our spotlight on New Paltz Athletics. The State University of New York at New Paltz returned home Tuesday, taking on the College of Mount St. Vincent for the first time since 2016 on Lauren Campbell Memorial Field. Riding on a weekend series win over Brockport, the first over the Golden Eagles since 2019, the Hawks, 20-11, entered Tuesday's non-conference matchup against the Dolphins with confidence. They trailed the majority of the game until late heroics by Captain Michael Barcarosa in the 8th pushed them to the eventual 3-2 victory. Right-hander Frankie Colora was on the mound Tuesday, chasing his first win of the season. Colora cruised through the first three innings, retiring 7 out of 9 hitters. In the top of the 4th, Colora retired the leadoff batter on a ground out to Barcarosa at 2nd.
The State University of New York at New Paltz named 4 students as recipients of the 2024 SUNY Chancellor's Award for Student Excellence. Among these students was Elias Elrock, a member of the SUNY New Paltz men's lacrosse team. Quote, "I was really surprised," unquote, said Elrock, a senior midfielder for the Hawks. Quote, "I finally felt like my hard work paid off, and I feel very honored and very blessed to be a recipient of the award," unquote. The Chancellor's Award for Student Excellence, created in 1997, is awarded to students for accomplishment in, quote, areas such as academics, leadership, campus involvement, community service, or the arts, unquote. It is considered the highest honor that students can receive within the SUNY system.
Tiger Woods' 15-year-old son will tee up at the 18-hole local qualifier in Port St. Lucie, Florida, as one of an 84-player field vying for a spot in the 124th edition of the major. The 5 top finishers at the Legacy Golf and Tennis Club will advance to the second and final qualifying stage, dubbed golf's longest day, unquote, held at 36 hole events across 10 U.S. and 3 international venues in May and June. Those that progress from there will stamp their ticket to the Pinehurst Resort and Country Club in North Carolina on June 13th, joining reigning champion Wyndham Clark and the rest of the 50 top-ranked players in the world already exempt from the third men's major of the season.
Let's see what's new in the entertainment world. Singer Kim Petras has canceled all of her summer festival performances this year due to, quote, health issues, unquote. In a statement on X, she said she was, quote, devastated to be writing, unquote, the message, but made the decision, quote, under medical advice, unquote. The German pop star didn't specify what medical problems she was experiencing. She had been scheduled to appear at the Primavera School Sound Festival in Barcelona in May and London's Mighty Hoopla Festival in June. She told fans, quote, I love you so much and I'll make it up to you and be back better than ever very soon, unquote. In 2023, Petras became the first openly transgender artist to win in a major category at the Grammy Awards for a collaboration with Sam Smith, Unholy, in the Best Pop Duo / Group Performance category.
Maya Hawke has released a new song called Hang In There, a, quote, elegantly delicate track, unquote, from her upcoming album, Chaos Angel. Hawke worked with longtime collaborators Christian Lee Husson, Benjamin Lazar Davis, and Will Grafe on the album. The new music is billed as a, quote, meditative album about falling in love, effing it up, and getting back up again, unquote. Chaos Angel will be released on May 31st. It's Hawke's third studio album and follows the success of her sophomore work, Moss. The new single, Hang In There, Hawke sings about offering support to a friend going through a difficult time in the midst of a toxic relationship. The lyric video is also out Wednesday.
It's Thursday, so grab that remote and recline your lazy boy. It's TV night in America. We meet Elizabeth Moss's Portia in the first scene of FX's new Hulu drama, The Veil, striding confidently through a busy international airport, stiletto heels precariously high, her mouth a gash of crimson lipstick. She's meeting a shady businessman named Tomas, and they toast to their transaction successfully made. But several seconds later, Interpol rushes in and she chides Tomas for all the criminal details he spilled in the previous 37 days. She walks away, leaving him fuming and in custody. Her name isn't actually Portia. As she leaves, aspect and tone initially changed. She's already arranging for her next destination, Istanbul. And her new identity, telling the person on the telephone, quote, I would like my name to be Imogen, unquote. She will be Imogen for the rest of the veil.
The six-episode series, close-ended but not so close-ended that FX couldn't order more in the event of success, is about steps women must take to retain autonomy in primarily male spaces. It is a spy thriller in which gender is a weapon and a superpower, one that builds a reasonable amount of intrigue through its first half. Unfortunately, for all its potent ideas, its carefully chosen and depicted European locations, and Moss's excellence, which should never be taken so entirely for granted that you don't pause and marvel, creator Stephen Knight doesn't know how to steer his story to a place that is as provocative as its origins. The veil becomes perfunctory, homeland light, before fizzling entirely in its concluding episodes.
Today is April 25th. If you're celebrating, happy birthday from the Edge News staff. Here's some folks who share your special day. Actor Al Pacino turns 84. Basketball player Tim Duncan turns 48. And actress Renee Zellweger turns 55.
That's all about it from us today, folks. But before we go, let's take a look back at today in history. In 1990, Violeta Barrios de Zamora begins a six-year term as Nicaragua's president. In 1867, Tokyo is open for foreign trade. And in 1590, the Sultan of Morocco launches a successful attack to capture Timbuktu.
And that'll be it for us. I'm sorry. And that'll be it for us this week. On the Edge News staff, our directors Alyssa Roldan and Jack Flowers. Tonight's engineer has been Alyssa Roldan. Sources for Edge News have been provided by The New York Times, The Gothamist, The Times Union, The Daily Freeman, BBC, CNN, and The New Pulse Oracle. Stay tuned for more cutting edge music. From the entire Edge News team, have a beautiful weekend.
dear God. If you hear God, make the fire disappear when they see God. Take away my fear when they interfere, God. Do you fear God? Cause I fear God. And in my backyard, that's a dear God. And that's a horse ranch. And to my core fans, keep repping me. Do it to the death of me. X in the box, cause ain't nobody checking me.